Well, good morning. Wow, isn't it great when the presence of the Lord shows up? Amen? Amen. So thank you for coming in with expecting hearts and worshiping the Lord and joining in what God has for us. Have a couple of reminders for us this morning, and if you'll take a look at your bulletin, just a couple of things to take note of here. First of all, we want to welcome you, and we want to thank and honor those who have served in our military. This coming Friday is Veterans Day, and so if you are a veteran, if you served in the United States military, would you just stand right now, please? We want to honor you this morning and thank you for your service. If you served, would you stand? Amen. And I'm going to ask these to remain standing. And another thing that you'll note in our bulletin, which I may come as some surprise to you, I don't know if you've heard this anywhere else, but Tuesday is Election Day. It might come as a shock. But we have a nation that needs the Lord. And we have a nation that needs to understand that our liberties flow from the Creator and the author of those liberties. And that the ultimate sacrifice has been paid by many of our veterans. I mean, by many of those who gave their life as they served in the military. And our veterans are a reminder of those that have served. I'm going to ask you if you would stand this morning, and if we would just simply take a moment and pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. I want to just tell you that I am very aware that elections have consequences. I'm also aware that there are different values that drive different people to vote in the way they do. Some vote this way because this is important to them. Others vote this way because this is important. Others don't vote because, frankly, this election season is probably one of the most bizarre I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I'll be 50 this year. But we do have a vote to steward that God has given us. I don't necessarily think ill of anyone at all for the way you vote. That would be ludicrous as believers to start to separate based upon some political decision. I mean, if you're not a Cleveland Indians fan, I still love you, you know. Why should I care if you vote differently? Donovan's glad about that, you know. But this is an important election. And I trust God's people to be well-read, to understand the issues, to understand what's going on, to look beyond all the fluff that we see on the news and the various things that fill a 24-hour news cycle. But I also trust the people of God to pray. Every time I go into a voting booth, I ask the Lord to help me. I ask Him to guide my decisions. I ask Him to guide my understanding before I go into that. And so I want to make you aware of this, that there is a simple election guide out on the information desk that will give you some information. It is not partisan. It does not tell you to vote for this candidate or the other, this party or the other. It just shows some issues that are important to believers, and those are there. There's another guide, a suggestion from the Florida Family Action, which is an excellent organization, by the way, on some suggestions on how you can vote. Read it, be informed. But I believe there are some important aspects to this election. And I am not going to stand here as the pastor of Kingsway and tell you you should vote this way or that way. As a private citizen, you can probably figure it out by going to my Facebook. I'll leave that to you. But as a church, our highest priority is to be united in the things of God. But I'm also not going to be one of those pastors that says, well, you know what, we don't want to get mixed up in all this, so let's just keep worshiping Jesus and don't worry about what happens. Christians need to be involved in the culture in which we live. We need to participate in that. I'm particularly grieved that we are so broken, so divided as a nation, and I ask you to make that a point of prayer. I can have an absolute disagreement with somebody about a political issue and still love them, and I don't know why we can't do that in this nation. But I do know why. It's because the human heart has been void of the love of God. That as the people of God withdraw, and as the nation pulls away from God, there are serious consequences that come. So my prayer is that our veterans will have not served in vain, that those who have died will not have died in vain, that the founders who established our liberties would not have, many of them, died in vain, that we will recognize that we have in our hands an opportunity to participate in a process that is so unique in the fact that we have an election that we should say, Lord, help me to take this one thing that I have. It's my vote. Help me to steward it according to your will. And let each believer make that decision based on the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. But more than that, we have a gospel to steward. We have a message of Jesus Christ that our nation needs to hear. We have a gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ that the people of this nation must grab hold of. And today, I ask you to join me in praying for our nation. So would you simply begin to pray? Lift up your hands if you so desire. And Lord, we just simply come to you and we say thank you for this nation in which we live. Lord, we never elevate the nation or its leaders above our worship of you. We do not worship our leaders. We do not worship our nation. But Lord, we worship you alone. But we do bring this nation to you. And we ask right now the greatest prayer that you would sweep a revival across this nation. That you would pour out your spirit on all flesh. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and will pray, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So Lord, we set our faces toward you. We surrender to you. We turn from our wicked ways and we repent as individuals, as a people, as a nation for the ways in which we have offended a holy God. We ask you to forgive us and we ask you, Lord, to right us before you. And Lord, in the annals of history that will be written in the coming weeks and months, there will be much discussion back and forth and here and there. But Lord, I pray that we as believers would always keep our hearts and our minds fixed upon Christ Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That we would have a joy that is present because we know that you are faithful, that we would have a hope that exists. But Father, I pray right now for the sovereignty and the authority of God to take this election process and that you would do your will for us as a nation. That you would accomplish your will, that you would guide us, Lord, in knowing your will, and you would help us to follow you in all these things. Father, I pray most of all, and I'm so very thankful for what I feel here at Kingsway. I'm so very thankful for the fact that I sense a unity among us that is not broken by party divisions or different political choices. But I know, Lord, I know that in churches throughout our nation, this is becoming a divisive issue. And so, Lord, right now, I break the spirit of the enemy that seeks to divide churches, that seeks to divide the people of God according to the things of man, when the things of God are a far greater point of unity for us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. I break the stronghold of division and of strife, of discord. And Father, I ask that we would walk in peace and we would operate in grace, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart and the typing of our fingers would be pleasing in your sight, O God. I ask that you would help us as humble people to come before you and to recognize that our salvation is found in Christ alone. And we pray that our nation would turn to you. In the midst of the chaos, give boldness to believers to declare the true word of God. Give boldness to your church to rise up and say, this is the way of the Lord, walk ye in it. And I'm aware, Lord, that before your coming, John the Baptist preached the message of repentance. That when you began your ministry, you said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lord, may we recapture the value of repentance first in our own lives, that our heart would be tender before you. And then as a body, that we would willingly come before you and say, Lord, we repent if there's anything that would keep us from honoring you. But may we as a nation repent if there's anything we have done to dishonor you and to allow your glory and your presence to fill us. Father, I thank you for our veterans. I thank you for those that signed a check equal to the value of their life. And they said, I will willingly give myself to serve my country. Right now, we pray for those who are serving around this world. We ask, Lord, that you would be a God of peace and a God of comfort and a God of strength to them. Father, we pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to invade our election process. I ask for the anointing and the authority of God to be over the entire process of Tuesday on Election Day. I declare the authority and the anointing of God above the manipulations of man. I declare the authority and the anointing of God above that which is hidden in dark places, may instead the light of Jesus Christ and the power of a God who loves people who will call out to him be manifest. And Father, no matter the outcome, no matter who wins this election and the multiple other elections that are a part of that, may we as the people of God never be divided because of political partisanship. May we always be united because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the same Spirit that dwells in us, no matter who we are, where we're from, or what political choices we make, it is the Spirit of God we ask that would dwell in us and unite us together. Soften our hearts before you. Give us strength to serve you. And Lord, I pray that we as a people of God would not walk in fear, that we would walk in faith. We would recognize the gravity of the situation, the need to vote according to your will. But Lord, we would also say, I'm not afraid, because my faith and my hope is not in the things of this world. My faith is in Jesus Christ. He is my sustainer. He is my hope. He is my shield. He is my fortress. And my trust and my hope is in the Lord. And Father, my prayer, because we're on the subject, is that because of such division, that we will on the other side of this come to a place where we will be able to have conversations about the things that matter in a more civil, in a more friendly, amicable way in our nation. That we will know how to be able to get along in these conversations, not because these points become a point of political power for those that would seek to use it, but rather because there are good men and women who are elected to office who seek to solve the issues at hand rather than simply supply their own voter base and power and strength. And Lord, I pray that on both sides of this aisle that there would be a recognition that we have greater things, the future of our children and our grandchildren and our nation ahead. And so, Lord, we ask that you would call good men and women to rise up and to serve you in this capacity and to honor you in the way they do so. And Father, most of all, we thank you that this day you are God. Tomorrow, you will still be God. Tuesday, you will still be God. Wednesday, you will still be God. Nothing we do on this earth changes the fact that you are God, and we will ever praise you. And so, Lord, we thank you. We ask your blessing and your grace upon us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Give God praise for his blessing on us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Carolina to come up here. Where's Carolina at? Where's Carolina? Come on up here. Nicole, where you at? Come on up here. Doctor, doctor. Doctor, doctor, doctor. Well, we had a little event Monday night, a little thing called Big Top. All right? Give yourself a hand if you were a part of that and you were a participant in that process. We're so thankful for what God did there. And I just want to encourage you to celebrate and pray for the seeds that were planted. We prayed it on Wednesday night, but again, we gave out Bibles, we gave out tracts, we gave out papers to people that they took home. May those seeds bear fruit as people put their faith and trust in the Lord. Amen? And so someone who was engineering a great deal of that behind that, the brains behind the operation, if you will, and a lot of phone calls and a lot of working this out was Carolina, who is our children's pastor. She's doing an awesome job, and I just appreciate everything that she does. And so Nicole is here to present something to her. Nicole has come straight from work. We do not have anybody in medical distress, but she's come straight from work this morning to be here, and so I'm going to turn the microphone over to Nicole.
I would just like, whoa.
Hey, there.
I don't even think I need this anymore. I would just like, if you see her or think about it, just to say thank you for what she did. Because while there were a ton of booths set up, there was candy everywhere, it took a lot of manpower from her to make that night possible. Can I say how much we got in sponsorship because
Yeah, sure.
of what she did? We got 1,200? 1,350 in Big Top sponsors to buy candy, to buy toys, to buy games. And it was all because of what she did. And personally, I've been doing Big Top since I was in high school. We've been doing this a long time. And to be part of her team to put it together meant more than I could tell you guys. And to watch you become the pastor you've become, man,
it's used, but
it It's been a true honor to serve in ministry with you, to be a part of that night, to watch what you did to make that night possible. I was just a tiny, tiny piece of that very large puzzle, and you put it all together. And I, as your friend and partner in ministry, am truly proud of you and thankful for what you did that night. And I know that you planted seeds that evening that will be that will have an eternal impact. So, great job.
And so continue to express your appreciation, if you will. Carolina, thank you so much. We appreciate you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. God's good. Amen. Well, look at the time. Some of you already have. I saw you. What's that? That's why we're here. Wow, what an encounter with God this morning, and what a way for him to move in our lives. And so here's what I want to do. I want to simply take you to a passage of Scripture and want to explain something to you in terms of what I think is so important for us in this time. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 11. And looking at Ezekiel chapter 11, we can see something very important here. That God speaks to a people who are in need of him to show up in a big way. They are the remnant. They are those who have been in captivity. And as we look at what the Lord says to this group of people who are away from their homeland, who are looking to come back to Jerusalem, and I will actually give you more detail and background on this next week, but I want to touch on this. In Ezekiel chapter 11, we see this. It says, and I will, actually let's go to verse 17 if we can. Ezekiel 11, 17. Therefore, say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it. And I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and that they will be my people, and I shall be their God. I simply want to abbreviate some points that I was going to bring to you this morning by saying this. I want to focus on that portion that talks about removing from them a heart of stone. Let's be honest this morning. There are a lot of things that can turn our heart to a heart of stone. There are a lot of things that can invade our heart and make us, and here we began the list, bitter, apathetic, jealous, angry, afraid, and on it goes. In fact, when it comes to heart conditions, I've prepared a handy-dandy list for you. And this is also on the information desk that as you leave, you can take it. It is not an exhaustive reference, but many references as to the type of heart we can have, which include broken heart, grieved heart, discouraged heart, trembling heart, sorrowful, fretting, heavy, troubled, melted, contrite, willing, perfect, undivided, tender, soft, pure, upright, clean, fixed, wise, merry, new, flesh, meek and lowly, honest and good, unburdened, sincere, circumcised, true, compassionate, obstinate, proud, wicked, double-hearted, cunning, forward or perverse, haughty, unsearchable, despiteful, bitter, stony, uncircumcised, foolish, darkened, impenitent, penitent, evil, deceitful, hard, whorish, mischievous, diabolical, or greedy. That's quite a list. And as we look at that, we realize that our heart can be in many of those conditions, but a heart of stone, one of the components of this that I look at is that God wants to take out of us this heart of stone and put a new spirit in us and put a new heart, a heart of flesh, and that means that we're tender and alive and beating before him. That we must be careful that we do not have a heart of stone that is hardened and embittered, and must take care to never allow any disagreement to harden our heart, never to allow hurt to harden our hearts, never to allow us to grow numb and apathetic and complacent in our faith because of a hardened heart, Never to allow rebellion to harden our heart. Never allow anything to affect the tenderness with which we came into the Lord's presence today and worshiped him with an open and a willing and a softened heart. In fact, one of the aspects of a heart of stone that I thought about is this. It's like the rock that I saw which hung there, and it was called a weather rock. Anybody ever see the weather rock? And here's what the weather rock is. The weather rock tells you what the weather is like. And it's simply this. If the rock is wet, it's raining. If the rock is swinging, the wind is blowing. If the rock casts a shadow, the sun is shining. If the rock does not cast a shadow and is not wet, the sky is cloudy. If the rock is not visible, it's foggy. If the rock is white, it's snowing. If the rock is coated with ice, there is a frost. If the ice is thick, it's a heavy frost. If the rock is bouncing, there's an earthquake. If the rock is underwater, there's a flood. If the rock is warm, it's sunny. If the rock is missing, there was a tornado. If the rock is wet and swinging violently, there is a hurricane. If the rock has white splats on it, watch out for birds. So a heart that merely reflects the outward conditions is a heart that can become a heart of stone. I don't want my heart to be a weather rock. I don't want my heart condition to be determined based on what is going around me, the circumstances of life. When things are tumultuous, we can become fearful. When things are unsure, we can become anxious. When others hurt us, we can become embittered. When we want to do what we want to do because of the opportunities before us, we can become proud. Our heart can be affected by outward circumstances. And if so, I would propose to you this morning that all we have is a weather rock. We're just reflecting what's around us. But if we have a heart of flesh that God gives us, if we have that heart that understands how God wants to work in our lives, he's able to take that heart and soften it and let it beat with the flow of his love and of his life and of his strength. That your heart condition is what determines everything about life, for out of it flow the wellsprings of life, Scripture tells us. And as we understand the condition of the heart and we understand how God is leading us and directing in this, we understand that it's God's desire to give us that heart that will obey him, that will follow him, that will seek after him. And then I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. I referenced this earlier. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And I'm just going to go through this very, very quickly, but I want you to just jot a couple of notes down for reflection upon the condition of our hearts. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And I want us to note how that ties into the scripture we read out of Ezekiel, where God says that he will put in them a heart of flesh and not of stone, and will call them and they will be his people and he will be their God. For us to be the people of God, our heart must be tuned and turned toward God. And as I look at this, I see several aspects. And first of all, who are we? Well, first, we are a people. We are a chosen race. That root word means ethnic race. That we are not identified by our ethnicity. We are identified by belonging to those who are the generation of God. That we belong to him, and that is who we are, a people. A collective group of people that are identified and unified by the fact that we have put our faith and trust in the living God. Secondly, we are priests unto God. That we are not only a chosen race, we are a royal priesthood. And as priests unto God, we worship him and we serve him and we minister unto him. Not as Old Testament priests, because Jesus already paid the ultimate sacrifice. There's no need anymore for animal sacrifices and what those priests did as a representation of what would come. But instead, as priests unto our God, we all come before him and we worship him and we serve him and we honor him. And our heart must drive us to this priesthood of believers, where we worship and we serve, not because we have to, but because deep in our heart we long for that worship, we long for that place of serving and honoring him. Notice that we are a royal priesthood. We're also princes and princesses. Look at the person next to you and say, "Hi, princess." Not if it's a guy. Say, "Hi, prince," if it's a, anyway, but not the one formerly known as, never mind. So anyway, we are princes and princesses, which means that we are the children of God. We are children of the King. We have a holy and a royal authority that comes from the very throne room of God himself. that when we worship him, we do so with the authority and with the anointing of God. This phrase, a royal priesthood, speaks of authority and anointing. And if our heart recognizes that we live and walk in the authority and the anointing of God, our heart is renewed, our heart is encouraged, our heart can rejoice in that. We also see here that we are not only a royal priesthood, but a holy nation, that our heart must be pure, our heart must honor God, that we have to surrender ourselves to him and ask forgiveness for sin. I'm going to tell you something today, this morning, that I think is the greatest thing that we can do for our heart. It's called repentance. You see, when we know we have done something that offends God or offends someone else, it's easy for us to justify, for us to make sense in our mind of what we've done and to say, well, this person did that to me and this person did this, so I did this. Our heart begins to be hardened. Our heart begins to be clouded. Instead, the place of forgiveness and repentance is to go before God and to simply say, Lord, I repent of my sin. Repentance has gotten a bad name. You know why? Because in order to say people must repent, it demands that we qualify those who must repent as those who have sinned. And nobody likes to talk about sin. Here's why we need to talk about sin. For the same reason I need to go to my doctor from time to time. I don't like to go to my doctor. My doctor does not edify me. My doctor does not make me feel good. My doctor does not soothe my emotions and my feelings. My doctor tells me I'm overweight. I need to watch my cholesterol. He tells me I need to get some exercise. My doctor tells me things about myself that I don't want to hear. But my doctor, when he tells me these things, gives me the opportunity to be able to make myself healthier. You see, when the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when God specifically calls certain things sin, it's not for the purpose of judgment. It's the purpose of giving us the condition which is resolved through the power of Jesus Christ. And so we can recognize that talking about repentance is a great joy, because we know that when we do, he meets us, forgives us, heals our broken heart, heals our sinful heart, and turns that heart back toward him. So we are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, and so we are possessed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're possessed. Why did you smile? Why did you laugh? You are possessed by the Spirit of God. You are possessed by the one who possesses us because of his love for us, not because of his hatred for us. And there are some who are possessed of the enemy, and he comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus possesses us, and we are his, and he is ours, because he comes to give life, and that life abundantly. And our heart should rejoice in that. And then we see this, a people for God's own possession, so you may proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are proclaimers of God. And we should proclaim the excellencies of him. And our heart should rejoice. Our heart should leap. Our heart should declare the goodness of our God. And so let me tell you, based on that, five conditions of our heart that we should have. Just jot these down. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Number one, we should have a reflective heart. We should reflect upon what it means to be a chosen generation, a race, a people with God's DNA. We should reflect the DNA of God. We should reflect upon it, and we should reflect him. We should, in our heart, mirror the heart of God. That our desire is to have our heart reflect his heart. Secondly, a responsive heart. If we are princes and princesses and priests unto our God, when he calls, we answer. When he prompts, we move. We are responsive to him. I'm thankful that my heart is responsive. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful that when your heart needs to beat a little faster, it does? Otherwise, when you started to exercise, you'd pass out. Aren't you thankful that when your heart needs to slow down, it slows down? Otherwise, you'd lay in bed at night and go. Our heart responds to the conditions, but our heart should respond to God. And that responsiveness to him, that ability to be moved by him, is powerful. A righteous heart, a pure heart, a holy heart. A righteous heart that says we recognize our divine parentage as our Father in heaven calls us to be righteous and holy as he is holy. We should have a remnant heart. A remnant heart simply means this. Just like those who lived outside of Jerusalem and were looking for that day when they would be brought back in, we know that we are a people possessed by God. We are a people that are owned by him of our own choice and volition, because we surrender ourselves to him, and we are the remnant. You and I will not look like the vast majority of the world around us if we are truly following Christ. You and I will be different. We are the remnant. That's not to pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, look at us, we're holier than everybody. It's to recognize that we cannot be distorted and blurred and brought into the culture that surrounds us and have that water down our faith, water down our testimony, water down our values, water down everything around us. We are the people of God, and we should stand as that remnant, unashamed of who Christ is, the hope of glory in us, and reflect Him, His holiness, His grace, and His power in a world that surrounds us. As a remnant of God, we know that He's calling us back, and our heart listens to that call to come back to Him again and again. And finally, we are a roaring heart that we proclaim. We don't just whisper, we proclaim, we roar, we declare the praises of God who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I want to challenge us this morning as we prepare to leave this place in a few moments. Will we say, God, You not only have my heart, but You shape my heart and You mold my heart. And right now, if there's anything stony, if there's anything hardened, if there's anything complacent, if there's anything unholy, if there's any lack of recognition of who I am and whose I am, may You come into my heart in a fresh way. Give me a heart of flesh, tender to You, softened before You, sensitive to Your Spirit, responsive to Your Word, reflective of Your character and Your nature, and able to go out into the world around us and reflect who God is. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what happens around us. Otherwise, that's a heart of stone. I don't want to be a weather rock. I want to be a heart of softened flesh for Jesus Christ. I want to respond to Him, not to the circumstances. And so we have a choice. Will our hearts be fully surrendered? Will our hearts reflect the love of Christ? Will our hearts be affected by what God is doing in our life? Will our hearts show the love and the grace and the mercy of God? Or will we just be weather rocks? I want to challenge you with that as we stand together and simply say, Lord, have Your way in our lives. Let's just stand as we prepare to dismiss. Father, we thank You for this day. What a move of Your Spirit in our time of worship. How marvelously You've spoken to us. How wonderfully we have been able to not only worship but hear from You. And as You brought Your word, as You reminded us of who we are, Lord, I pray that You would continue to cultivate in us an understanding that You are a God who speaks to us and through us. As Paula spoke, as she shared, Lord, I pray that those words that were Your words impacted our lives, impacted our heart to draw us closer to You. And Father, I pray that we would be able to recognize that we come before You not just as people, but we come before You as those who are sons and daughters of the King, those who are children of God, those who have been bought with a price. And so, Lord, I pray that right now You would help us each to present our heart before You, to examine our own heart, and to say, Lord, search me and see if there be in me any wicked way. Help me to know that You are a mighty God and allow me to reflect Your love and Your glory. And so, Father, as we go out in the world around us, I pray this, that we will not be those with hearts of stone. We will not be hardened. We will not be embittered. We will not be divisive. We will not be broken. We will not be sinful. We will not be caught up in the things of this world. We will not be unholy in our pursuit. We will not be unsatisfied in our walk with You. But we will instead be those who have a heart of flesh, softened before You. And Father, I pray that as we do that, as we step out into the world, that our heart will beat differently from the world around us. The people will notice there's something different. That when everyone's in turmoil, we're in peace. When everyone's afraid, we have a trust and a confidence in You. When everyone is spouting off the reflections of what they've heard in the news and they've heard others saying and they've heard around the shop and people talking, we're able to bring forth the wisdom of God because we've spent time with You and our heart is not affected by the weather around us. Our heart is affected by He who is within us. Because greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. And so, Lord, may our hearts be at peace. May our hearts be pure. May our hearts be settled upon who we are and whose we are in Christ. And may our heart be a heart that beats with compassion. Do not let our heart be hardened. Do not let our love grow cold. May it always be so childlike. May it always be full of peace. May it always be a heart that longs for You. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You. And as we go, we thank You for the grace of God that so marvelously works in us. And we praise You, Lord. Before we say the amen, I'm going to ask our ushers to come. And we've just clipped through this service. And I care more about what God wants than I care about the offering in that moment, you know, but somehow when the electric bill comes, we do care about the offering, so, you know, just be honest there. But may God affect our heart as we give to Him as well. So we're going to receive our offering this morning, and then we'll pray a prayer of dismissal. So Lord, thank You for this offering. Thank You for the opportunity to give. I'm reminded of Saul, whose heart had become so embittered. And Samuel looked at him and speaking as the Spirit of God spoke through him, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. That God desires obedience before the fat of rams. So yes, Lord, we give an offering, and I pray that we would give generously, give by faith, give in obedience as we give our tithe, as we give the offering, as we are faithful to support the work through which you've called us. But may our giving of offering simply be a representation of where our heart is, that we give ourselves to you completely and wholly, that we hold nothing back, Lord, but we say, Lord, here I am. Take me and use me for your purposes and your kingdom. So, Lord, bless this offering, bless our giving, and bless the offering of ourselves unto you as we step out into a world that is full of hurting, broken, hardened hearts. A bunch of weather rocks. Lord, help us not to be bothered when the weather rocks simply reflect what's going on around them. They're just weather rocks. They're going to do that. But help us instead by example and by the gospel to share with them how to see a heart of stone turn to a heart of flesh, of receptivity toward our God. We'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, please receive our offering. Thank you so much. I want to encourage you to, as we receive the offering, do a couple things. Number one, please pray for the youth as we head off to Fusion this weekend. Youth are looking forward, it's next weekend actually, but looking forward to that time together. We want God to touch our hearts and to impact us. And secondly, to just continue to worship together and serve the Lord together. I encourage you to come to our Wednesday nights. We're doing some deeper Bible studies and looking at the work of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And then as we come back next Sunday, to come back with expectant hearts and ready to receive and ready to worship God. And besides, we're getting that extra hour of sleep, right? We get an extra hour of sleep now every night until the next one, right? I don't know, something flawed with the logic there, right? But we should be alive and awake and present in the presence of the Lord. So God bless you, and may the Lord's peace be with you. And I am going to speak that blessing over you in a moment. Remember, on the information table, conditions of the heart, some handy reference guides for positions and issues if you're interested in that. And we pray God's blessing and peace on you and your family. So may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. And above all, may he give you peace. The peace of the Lord that will carry us and sustain us through all things. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday.